Thank you for joining us for Life in Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law.
Because I'm the tax man.
Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
I would like to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell and Collins, a.k.a. the tax man. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Mike.
Our title of our show, aptly named, is Life in Taxes, and sometimes a tax issue causes one to take its own life. As we saw, we're seeing a developing story out of Spain, the American John McAfee of internet virus fame allegedly failed to pay his taxes for several years and was about to be extradited back to the United States to face charges. Just goes to show you, Andrew, just state, you know, as much as you hate to do it, you know, the tax man is always going to come for you.
That's right.
And just
That's
get
right.
your taxes in when they're due.
Yeah, and we had talked about that John McAfee story regarding the difference between criminal and civil enforcement of the IRS, the Internal Revenue Code.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about how his turned towards the evasion side.
It doesn't take long to cross that line sometimes.
And when you cross that line, all of a sudden it doesn't become a collection issue. It becomes a criminal matter.
Mm-hmm.
And in his case, he actually got picked up overseas and again was in a Spanish prison. And then, of course, word came down yesterday. They had started to approve his extradition to the United States. And lo and behold, he either called it or someone else called it for him. We'll maybe find out some details about that later on.
We may or we may not know.
You
know, like
right.
Jeffrey Epstein, we may or may not know. Just a quick aside, have you ever had personal experience with a client that started as a collection that went criminal?
There's times where I have to advise them of, you know, you need to be careful here. Because really when we talk about when things turn criminal, intent is the biggest player.
Yeah. I didn't mean to do it. You know, I mean, that's what you're saying.
That's right. Yeah. So if it is, you know, negligence is one thing, intent mm-hmm. to defraud, to evade
purposely
is another.
Purposely doing it.
Yeah. Yes. So whenever there's that line and that possibility, you know, I'm quick to advise our clients, you know, look, this is one where you need to be careful and you probably need to consult a criminal tax attorney. I've had a couple cases where we've had some subpoenas come down from the criminal division. And that's, of course, when I refer them to a criminal tax attorney and mm-hmm. say, you need to get advice on this from someone who deals with these types of matters. But you're right. The line between civil and criminal and tax matters, especially on the state level, I mean, I've seen them go after individuals for failure to file a lot more frequently on the state level than on the federal level,
mm-hmm.
Just to try to make examples out of individuals sometimes.
Is it like we see in the movies, like we see in Breaking Bad and the attorney there, Saul, or like in the movie The Firm and Tom Cruise, that the way that as your counsel, I have to advise you?
Yeah.
It's just like that.
You just have to tell them that, look, this, depending on how this matter goes, it could take a turn. And, you know, we don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
So here's what I would encourage you to say. And here's what I'd encourage you not to say.
Very good. As your counsel.
And then, you know, obviously get the criminal lawyer involved if necessary. Luckily, you know, it hasn't really happened very often that I've had to make those types of referrals. But, you know, it's unfortunate when it does because, you know, the level of investigation is really going to ramp up.
Well, you're a seasoned attorney, although you're young and you're youthful looking. Wait till you're Cecil Harvell's age. You'll have stories. You'll have stories to tell your grandchildren then.
There you go.
Perhaps.
That's right.
What do you have for us today?
A couple of updates. You know, first update is that there was some breaking news yesterday regarding the possibility of coming together on a bipartisan infrastructure mm-hmm. deal. So, you know, we've been talking about these two omnibus bills that are kind of hanging out there over us right now. One they call infrastructure, and we'll put it in air quotes. And the second one is, you know, for families and for workers and COVID and various things like that. And, you know, the first bill, the infrastructure bill, was really on the back of a corporate tax increase.
Mm-hmm.
And what I will tell our listeners is that the pared down version, the $579 billion version, not the 2 points.
A little over half a trillion.
Yeah, not the $2 trillion they were bantering about for infrastructure. Kind of just guts all the tax increases. And so what they're going to do is kind of redirect some COVID money and enhance collection.
Which means what?
which means
more IRS agents.
Yeah, more audits, more agents, more more investigations from
enforcement.
Enforcement. Exactly right. So that's really the big development is that the corporate tax increases appear to be, you know, dead in the water unless, you know, this bipartisan effort does not go to come to fruition and somehow they try to jam all this into one bill. We talked about them doing that potentially with an, with the infrastructure bill and the second component bill, put them all together and call it budget reconciliation and see if they can ram it through. Yeah. But we know that's going to have serious problems.
They're meeting today, I believe, too, with the president down at the White House.
They are. There's a group of
21
senators that are trying trying to pull this thing together. And, the interesting thing about it is that both Pelosi and Schumer have said that they're not going to do the bipartisan if they don't then do the, I'll call it the family worker COVID bill, that second bill that's the, you know, over almost $3 trillion of additional spending. So they're trying to get assurances that, you know, that the Republicans aren't going to vote for it, but that it's going to be allowed to go through the budget reconciliation process in order to get that bill passed. And again, that's going to have its hurdles as well, whether or not that's able to get pushed through or not. What I think is interesting, Mike, and the reason I bring this up today is because now that we know that the infrastructure bill appears to be, you know, pared down, not including corporate tax increases, you know, that leads me to believe and question, are those going to make their way now over to this other bill?
Mm-hmm.
This other budget reconciliation process is a possible way to pay for this spending. Or, you know, is it going to stick to kind of what it was, which was the infrastructure bill was on the backbone of corporate taxes, and then this second bill was on the backbone of individual increases in taxes.
It's hard to find any piece of legislation that was promised to pay for itself by raising the tax on the wealthy or businesses, whenever they say it like that, because it ultimately comes down to the middle class, because that's where the numbers are.
Yeah.
And so if you are living and breathing and working, watch your wallet, because they're coming after you, because the numbers are there in the middle class.
Yeah, and I think that's when it's really instructive to look at the White House's green book. So there's this book that's the green book, and it is literally, if the president could wave a magic wand and decide what he would want tax policy to be, this is it. You know, and it's raising, this is straight from the green book, raising the top marginal individual income tax rate from 37% to 39.6%, taking the top individual income tax bracket from 523,000 down to 452,000. Capital gains taxes, ordinary income for taxpayers over $1 million of income. So no preferential treatment relative to capital gains for those individuals. And then this is the big one. Transfer of property on death will be treated as a sale of property, and the capital gains will be taxed, with gains over $1 million being taxed at the new 39.6% rate.
So explain that to the listeners. What does that mean? Put it in terms of a house down here in Carteret County.
Yeah. So this is the one we were talking about before, which is, you know, right now, estate taxes are very favorable. And, you know, our instructions to our clients at Harvell and Collins is, you know, it's very good to keep things in your estate because we've got a high exemption amount, over $11 million of exemption that you can basically pass assets down to your beneficiaries without paying a single dollar of tax. And those assets take what's called step up in tax basis, which means that they take the fair market value as of the date of death, and that becomes the beneficiary's basis in their assets. So the quick example, have a stock for a dollar, it's now worth $100.
Okay.
If you sell that stock, obviously you're going to have $99 of gain to pay tax on.
Right.
If, however, you leave that stock to a beneficiary under the current existing estate tax laws, that stock will be inherited by that person and will receive the fair market value step up basis, $100. So then when that person goes and sells that stock, 100 minus 100 is what?
Zero.
Zero. Yeah. So you pay no tax on these inherited assets.
Mm.
Now,
wow, that's huge.
Let's flip the script and let's see if Joe Biden has his way and can pass this as part of one of these bills that may get passed. Then you're going to have a deemed sale of assets at your death. So everything in your estate is deemed to have been sold. Okay.
Wow.
So you mentioned the house in Carteret County.
Yeah.
All right. bought that house. It's been in your family for years. Bought it for $30,000. It's worth, you know, $3 million right now.
Sure.
All right. So $2.7 million of a built-in gain in that. Okay. Right now, as it sits, we talk about how the current law treats it. If you pass it down to your heirs, guess what they would do?
2.7.
They would take that property.
Current value,
$3 million. They turn around and sell it. $3 million minus $3 million is zero. That's what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
New plan. House is deemed sold. Doesn't matter if they sell it.
Right.
It's deemed sold at your death.
Transfer equals sale.
$3 million minus $30,000.
2.7 times the rate. You can't afford it.
2.7 times 39.6% paying 40% taxes. It's a big difference, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah. Not only would you be forced to sell it, but then you have to pay $40 on the 100 to get you satisfy your tax bill.
Correct.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's what's at stake relative to these bills.
Wow.
You know, and that's where I think that, and where I really want to tell our listeners today is that it looks like the corporate stuff is, you know, dead in the water,
mm-hmm.
corporate tax increases. But these individual and these estate tax increases are very much on the table if they're going to, you know, ram through another spending bill via reconciliation because, as Schumer and Pelosi said, we're not doing the bipartisan unless we do the other bill. And the other bill has these tax provisions that are in it. So it's going to be interesting to see if some of the negotiations don't revolve around, you know, well, let's move some of that corporate tax increase over to this to possibly help pay for that bill.
Wow.
So it's one of those stay tuned.
Yeah, stay
listeners.
Tuned.
And maybe you're right. Hold on to your wallet.
Hold on to your wallet. Give Andrew Foster a call today if you're curious or have questions. 252-726-9050. You can go online to HarvellandCollins.com.